All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. That means none other than Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, joins us, you know, on the line. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Earl. Always good to be with you.
It's always great to be with you. So it's official. Governor Evers has struck down the State Assembly's legislative maps. And I think it's safe to say that Robin Voss and the Republican legislature knows now the handwriting is on the wall. Their maps that they've basically grown accustomed to over the last decade, that's over. Your thoughts?
And you know, from last week, I was worried because the governor's strengths and weaknesses, he loves a great bipartisan deal. Not even a great one, just anyone. He's also done some bad ones, in my opinion. And I was afraid he'd take the bait of them saying it's mostly his maps, even though their calculation, Robin Voss's, is obviously that he's going to do worse in the objective Supreme Court process than he will this way. And so kudos to Governor Evers for vetoing these. I will tell you, Earl, I was talking confidentially to a member of the State Assembly late last week, and they were not entirely sure Voss wouldn't make another run at Evers and offer another compromise. So I hope that's not the case, but I think you're probably right that this was Voss's last and final offer, but we shall see.
Well, I mean, the chances that the United States Supreme Court, which was something that Voss talked about early on, the chances of them picking up this state kerfuffle, if you will, in time enough to have some impact on the 2024 election outcome is not going to happen. Is it safe to say that?
It seems it's hard to fathom how it would happen, but all sorts of unfathomable things have happened in recent times. And with this Supreme Court, I mean, the travel schedule's new pace for it of right-wing Supreme Court justices, I would never have guessed, right? But I don't know what the pretext would be, neither do legal scholars that are actually objective, actually academic, not being paid by a side. But it was very carefully designed not to involve federal laws. So if they really thought, I would just say this, Earl, if Robin Voss really believed that there was a good chance the U.S. Supreme Court could intervene, excuse me, he would not have offered this compromise. If they intervene, they can return to the old maps where he's a guaranteed majority. So he clearly doesn't think that's a possibility, hence what he offered.
You know, Dr. Craig, the proverbial handwriting is on the wall, and we are, and it's kind of hard to imagine because we've waited so long, Dr. Craig. We're starting to kind of see a turning of the page, even if it's, you know, slowly turning. We're starting to kind of see, and Robin Voss is accepting this himself, this change is going to happen. And the fact of the matter is we sometimes forget the fight that it took Dr. Craig to, get, Janet Protasiewicz elected, the amount of money that was spent and the horrible things that were said to have prevented us from getting to this point. Right. I mean, the whole purpose of having Supreme Court Justice Protasiewicz elected was kind of this maps, right? I mean, that was part of it.
That and abortion rights were the top issues,
right?
And so you can say the issue was the authoritarian control of our state by a rogue state Supreme Court, right? Both on abortion and imposing a night an 1849 law that you know, was written at a time when women couldn't vote and weren't in the legislature, and medical science was primitive compared to today. And then these maps. Now, the fight goes back further than Janet Protasiewicz. That's just the culminating battle so far, right? There's been a movement to try to get fair maps since they gerrymandered the legislature so severely in 2011 after winning one election. They didn't win one election. It was the Tea Party rebellion. It was a national sweep. It wasn't even anything that they did here in Wisconsin in particular. There was a tidal wave in favor of their party. All right, it was the Great Recession. Unemployment was near 10%, right? People were upset. That is, and understandably so, but voters often, when they're upset about their economic conditions, do not know who to blame, and the media and the politicians don't often help them with any actual clarity on that. They get a lot of disinformation or bad information or just poor information that's confusing. And so there's been a campaign to do this. It should not have been this hard. We haven't had a democracy in Wisconsin for 12 years, Earl, because democracy is premised on the idea that either side can gain control. And the only time that's not the case is if you're in a situation, let's take a very deep red state like Alabama, where or Mississippi, the Democrat is not going to win the governor's race, right? So that is democracy. It's not a democracy when you have a 50-50 purple state, as the governor has been repeating, right? And you have a guaranteed supermajority by one side. That's not democracy. So it's been entirely too hard. The money had to be spent, Earl, because it is the business lobby, and they never get brought up in this, or very, very rarely, right? WMC, part of a U.S. Chamber of Commerce strategy to take over state Supreme Courts, pour money into them, take these sleepy races and take them over so they would make decisions in favor of their economic advantage, you know, their rights over consumer rights and the rights of people who are being polluted upon, et cetera, versus their rights. And then their preferred candidates that are conservative and have never seen a tax cut they didn't like, right? And a regressive tax cuts, of course, that would benefit the corporate class. So that's what started all of this and created the arms race, and it took a Herculean effort and national fundraising. We should give credit to all the progressives and Democrats around the country that understood having democracy in Wisconsin was important given its pivotal role in national democracy in presidential elections, and also help support Janet Protasiewicz, and of course, especially all the people here that did so. But it shouldn't have been necessary, Earl. We shouldn't have had to have won a big money Supreme Court race against, money raising, in order just to restore the basic elements of democracy.
Yeah, sanity. You know, so Dr. Craig, so the absentee ballot suit, for those who may not know, this has been another one of those things that Republicans have been attempting to use to throw out people's votes, people's rights to vote, because, you know, maybe somebody, you know, spelled something wrong on their ballot, you know, on the envelope. And your thoughts about the absentee ballots that clearly Republicans have just as equal rights to as Democrats, but why it was such a big issue and has been made a big issue, and why now we may be even putting that to rest.
And I'll give you a riff on Maya Angelou's famous line that when people tell you who they are, believe them. I would say also when people show you who they are, believe them. Republicans believe that minor technical errors like the witness on a disabled person's ballot, you know, forgot their zip code, right, or made a minor correctable mistake, that person should lose their constitutional rights and not be able to vote after making all that effort and going through the hoops and getting this ballot filled out and getting the witness and all of that, right? When there are other ways to verify other than find a witness, especially people who live alone, right, and are shut-ins, or right, all sorts of reasons that that makes another hoop. And I just said hallelujah when I read Judge Ryan Mistletoe's decision, reporting on that, not read the whole decision, where he said exactly this. He said that kind of time money error cannot be allowed to disenfranchise voters in their fundamental constitutional right. And that's what Republicans think. And why? Because they will stop at nothing to win elections. They do not care about the constitutional rights of citizens, even those most vulnerable, such as disabled people who cannot go to the polls, people with disabilities, and a lot of other people. In fact, we should go to a guaranteed mail ballot. Oregon's all mail ballots, right? So that people can more easily vote when they have difficult work schedules, difficult family situations, and can't make it on the one day in person. We have a virtual society. You don't need to go to the bank anymore to make a deposit, right, or to transfer funds and fill out all this paper and wait in line. But for voting, we're going to require that. Why? Because they want fewer people to vote so they can hold power, period.
You know, Dr. Craig, what I always said was all the time that they were pushing this envelope and saying Democrats were cheating, Republicans could also have used absentee ballots. So to say that it was just a tool that Democrats used to cheat and they got away with this for all of this time, well, we're now finally starting to see, you know, justice, you know, play out. Hang on, Dr. Craig, 844-967-2789. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. You can join us as well. At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest, as always, on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. Your thoughts?
Hi, Earl. Hi, Dr. Craig. I don't believe that, Republicans think that the Democrats cheat. The Democrats think the Republicans cheat. It's always going to happen. I think the problem is it's the potential of cheating. It can happen. And there's more chances of happening than not happening by having, you know, drop boxes and harvesting of ballots and whatever way they want to do it. I vote many times on the day, but I have the time to do it. I'll get up early in the morning and I'll vote either before or I'll vote afterwards. There's been times that I've done, because I've been on vacation, that I put my ballot in, I go to the city hall and drop it off. You know, there's always ways of doing it that way. And I think it's, you know, the tighter things are, the better it is. And I understand that when people are in nursing homes, because I've been volunteering at nursing homes for 35 years, loving the old people, you know, they're my friends. And I understand they can't get out. And I understand, you know, that you know, they want to vote too. So, but I think I think we should just make it less ways to vote. That if you can't leave, okay, I understand that, you know, everybody has a right to vote. But my opinion is there's too many opportunities to cheat when there's too many ways to vote. What do you think?
Dr. Craig?
So I agree with the caller's premise. Let me frame it this way, though. State constitution gives people a right to vote, except in certain circumstances, such as they're incarcerated. And I think that's something we should reconsider, too, or still, you know, under supervision, right, if they're on parole, for example. Otherwise, there's nothing else that can interfere with that fundamental constitutional right. We do need to protect the integrity of the ballot box, but it should be based on things that are actually necessary to maintain the integrity of elections, not things made up by politicians. It should be entirely evidence-based. And the problem I have is not with the voters, with the caller's premise, but the conclusion that drop boxes are unsafe or less safe than other forms, not evidence-based. There is not evidence of larger amounts of voter fraud in Dropbox states. In fact, there's evidence it is more secure than mail, which we allow still. So it tells you what the motive is. It is not about the integrity of the vote. The most notorious is photo ID. It's a lot of hoops for people who don't need IDs for anything else or very low income. So you would only could justify it if there was a lot of identity theft, voter fraud, where people are impersonating people. That's the only thing it protects against. You know what? There's almost none. So what's the purpose, Earl? To limit people's voting, because Republicans have made a decision that those people are more likely to vote for their opponents. And the caller also said that there is each side thinks the other's cheating. You don't hear a lot about the voter fraud we're talking about from Democrats. Democrats think they're rigging the election, okay? Whereas people like Donald Trump are making up, and Scott Walker before him, and legislative Republicans. Voter fraud that doesn't exist, fomenting panic about it, and then making it seem like common sense to people like the well-intentioned people like this caller. But I, if the caller is still there, I wonder, would you agree that the only restrictions we should have should be evidence-based, where there is actual evidence that kind of fraud is taking place in such a large number that we actually should limit someone's constitutional freedom by making it harder to vote?
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. In response to the caller a moment ago who said that there are many ways to cheat. In theory, I could see how one would come up with that. But when you look into it and look into the process, you look into the double check, triple check, you look into overvote, undervote in the process. The fact that a signature is one of the hardest thing to duplicate and replicate that there is. I'm going to just push back against the caller's innuendo that there are many ways to cheat. Well, maybe at the surface level, there are many ways to cheat, but cheat and get away with it? No. And finally, in this last election cycle, all experts said it was the most secure election in American history. So I think your response, Earl, was spot on that no, it's the Republicans that make this up. You're guilty by innuendo, according to today's GOP. And it's funny how they never want to debate the subject or get into the weeds in any one of these accusations. All they do is then they pivot and say they're a victim. Enough of this nonsense from the GOP. They stink, and they need to be called out for that.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. All of you hang on the phone lines. You know, the truth of the matter is, Dr. Craig, as we go to a short hiatus, is they've had their time in court, and the courts proved that, you know, they created falsehoods all along the way with all of these people cheating and Trump, you know, election being stolen from him. It's been proven in court. I don't know how many different times, but, you know, you can't make people who don't want to hear the truth, change their minds. Hang on the phone lines. We'll come to all of you on the other side, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. We'll return. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We're talking, you know, about drop boxes and the fact that, you know, this has really been dragged on far too long, and it's really was much ado about nothing. And so we're finally, this is going to be thrown out. And so let's go back to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. One of your callers just recently made the statement, quote, Republicans think Democrats cheat and Democrats think Republicans cheat. Well, first of all, the alleged cheating in the 2020 election obviously wasn't. There are over 60 court cases that showed that every single state certified the vote, in spite of the fact at that time, I think something like 51 or 52 of those states, the people controlling the certification process were Republicans. There were recounts and audits and fraudits and, you know, all this stuff. Clearly, there was no significant quote unquote cheating in that last election. That's a totally false equivalency when the person says that, because in Wisconsin, at least, there's clear evidence that Republicans do cheat. The gerrymandering is so horrible, it gives them a near two-thirds majority from about 48% of the vote. And that, of course, allows most of the legislators to entirely ignore the wishes of the majority of the voters. A couple of other things, drop boxes, that's just a pejorative term for an authorized ballot collection box, and those are actually less likely to be tampered with than USPS mailboxes. And vote harvesting, another pejorative term. I mean, I love these flash terms that these people throw around, and they just, it's like, this is what they're called. No, that's not what they're called. Vote harvesting is another pejorative term. You have lawfully authorized persons collecting sealed ballots, and it just happens to be in a convenient location where a lot of people can easily get to. So, you know, what's this really about, this concept that Republicans do it and Democrats do it? Well, there used to be an ad on civic media stations from the Devil's Advocate show, and I think it's crude. It essentially asks, why don't Republicans want as many people as possible to vote? And I think it's Dom who answers, because they lose those elections. That's the end of my tirade for this morning.
Well, Jack, as always, well worth the wait. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Well, Jack's right, and between what we've said, Earl, and what your callers have said, the case is overwhelming, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I will say, think about the strategy of the Republicans, and you know, kind of cheap tactics that have no regard for democracy. They're part of the threat to democracy. They understand human nature, Earl. If you hear a rumor about something, think back to high school, right, or workplace or anything else, right? It gets in people's minds very quickly that it might be true, especially if it's someone getting something or taking advantage of something, right? Someone figured out how to, you know, get a hold of the test in advance. Then it doesn't matter if there's a factual basis. It goes all over the school, right?
Yes.
And so that's what they do. They talk about vote harvesting, which is a suburban myth, I should say, because it's not really propagated by urban people. And they create this impression that the caller, who seemed very well-intentioned, that your first caller brought up, that there's all this cheating going on, and it's reasonable to have all of these safeguards. Of course, as I pointed out, these safeguards aren't actually safeguards. They're voter suppression devices. They have no relation to the voter fraud that actually does take place, which is very minor. And voters don't know how the election process works. It's complicated. It's localized. But there's a lot of different checks. And someone like Donald Trump just capitalizes on that. So I make a big moral distinction between your first caller, who has simply heard all of this and is drawing reasonable conclusions based on the evidence he's been given, false evidence, versus the manipulative people who want power, who are propagating all of this and know darn well they're doing so. But Robin Voss knows darn well this stuff is not true. And I think the tell, I've mentioned this before, Earl, is when Robin Voss, and this goes to Jack's remark about the gerrymandered legislature, said at the beginning of this legislative session, he was hoping that his caucus would act more in accordance with public opinion and public wishes this session. So who says that except someone who knows they're not, because they have an unfair majority, but worries that they might actually have to face voters in fairer maps in the next election? So Robin Voss knows very well and is trying to hold that advantage in any way he can. He knows what he's doing. That's a different moral level than someone who has been duped.
So Dr. Craig, I want to go here. I was reading this article in the alternate the other day, and it said, new reports show harms of corporate tax cuts and trickle-down ideology. This is, you know, that Ronald Reagan trickled down. We remember when it came into existence. And we can track, you can actually track what happened to the middle class going back to Ronald Reagan and trickle down and the tax cuts for corporations. Two new reports published Tuesday by the Roosevelt Institute argue that robust corporate taxation is key to creating a strong economy and improving the well-being of families and children, taxation on corporations. Objectives that have been undermined in the decades since the Reagan era by regressive tax cuts enacted on the false premise that benefits would trickle down to the rest of society. The first report, a mapping of the four potential of the U.S. corporate taxation to enhance child and family well-being examines that the authors described as the understudied notion that increasing corporate taxation will necessarily help children and families by providing additional revenue for essential public services. Now, what they are saying is, it is clear that they can track Dr. Craig from the time of all these major tax cuts to corporations, the correlation between the middle class dying off in this country and where we are today. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I've actually visited the Roosevelt Institute. Great, 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 great people there. Really, really good research. So this is another fact that it doesn't, you see, the Republican policies from Reagan forward are not fact-based. They just keep saying it, even if it's disproven. The whole, we're going to get shared prosperity by giving more money to rich people and large corporations has not worked. It's caused inequality to be the greatest since the 1920s and headed back to the 19th century because it's getting worse in general, right? It doesn't work. It simply gives more money to rich people and our biggest corporations and the people who run them, who are the same people as the rich people. And so we know this. But what do? Rinse and repeat. Doesn't matter. They're not going to read this report or any report. That because guess what? Guess who gives money to Republicans to elect them? The people who want these giveaways, and that's what they are. These are the real welfare queens. Are all the welfare queen myth was made up in order to attack our social safety net, as you know. And so, what did the Republicans do this week? They offered another big regressive tax cut. Well, they've been defunding our schools. We're having referendums all over the state, school closures, layoffs. When we had this huge surplus, that is what I'm afraid of, because Governor Evers has not come out right away and announced that he will veto it. And he is an old school Clinton Democrat that he still thinks there's some value to tax cuts, and he's been willing to swallow and take credit for regressive ones. So I won't really sleep well about this one until Governor Evers, and you should call Governor Evers, announces he will veto this. Otherwise, we're going to have another raid on the public treasury and public services and shared prosperity from the wealthiest among us.
You know, Dr. Craig, what is so harmful and hurtful in this report is that we all knew it. We've all seen it. It's continued. Those of us who've been around long enough, it has continued unabated. And yet some of the average citizens are supporting this, not realizing the impact and the damage that is done generationally to the average American family.
Voters are lied to about who the tax cuts go to. What is the message of Republicans already? I'm going to give you a tax cut. We could be against that, right? They've done this again, done it so the majority of the benefits go to wealthier people, and middle-income working-class people get a little cut, but it's not most of it, and it's not the point, right? That's just in order so they can lie to you that they care about your taxes and your ability to make the rent or send your kid to college. They don't. And why do I say they don't? I'm not talking about, you know, talking to them at Sunday at church about their moral beliefs. I'm talking about you judge people. You will know them by their fruit, Earl.
Yes.
To make this biblical, and this is their fruit, and when they show you who they are, believe them.
Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. Quickly.
Good morning, Earl. I would recommend everybody go to YouTube and look up a guy from Racine named Paul Weyrich. It's Weyrich. He's the founding father of ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, and also the Heritage Foundation. And what he said in 1980 at a Republican thing was, how many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome? Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never happened from the beginning of our country, and they are not, as a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections quite candidly goes up as the voting populace goes down. And that's where Ronald Reagan appeared with Jerry Falwell at that conference in 1980. And again, I would recommend everybody go check out YouTube and look up Paul Weyrich. And he's from Racine, Wisconsin. And he was one of the very, very big people for the architect of the religious right.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Hang on, guys, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, I am so concerned about what is happening in the Middle East, and I think all of us should be, as the United States prepares to respond to a drone attack that killed 3 Americans and injured 42 others. And Lindsey Graham and others have said that we should attack Iran and publicly, Dr. Craig, and that we should bomb their oil reserves. And the world hears these things. And Iran has already said that they will retaliate. With, you know, if there are attacks inside of Iran. And President Biden has clearly said that we'll respond in an appropriate manner, that, you know, we'll mete out some pain. But he clearly did not say we're going to attack Iran. Dr. Craig, why do we have congressmen and senators telling the world that we want to begin World War III?
That's a good frame to the question, Earl, because we got a lot of crazy people who oughtn't to be in leadership. And if they're not crazy, maybe Lindsey Graham, they think Biden will check them, that is a political advantage to telling their constituents that they're really tough, but Biden wouldn't be.
Right.
But wouldn't actually pull the trigger. I think it could be a combination. We don't know if Lindsey would actually do it, but Middle East experts, Earl, throwing pins and needles right now. We're at the knife edge of major escalation, and we don't want to be in the middle of a hot war in the Middle East. And the worst thing we could do is bomb Iran directly. And let's think about this, right? Iran didn't bomb the United States. Right.
Right.
So it was a force they fund, but they do not have command and control every day. Obviously, they have a certain amount of control, like we have a certain amount of control of Israel because we fund them. Right. There are more than one group of surrogates here. So the appropriate proportional response would be to strike the group, right, that was involved. But quite frankly, this ends if we get the right-wing government is Israel to stop what the international court has said may be genocidal. In other words, provisionally, there is evidence of genocide. They haven't made a final conclusion. It is that this needs to stop because it's collective punishment, as Congressman Mark Pocan rightly says, the one Wisconsin congressperson who's really leading on this in a very bold way, in a public way. And I know Gwen Moore is also now calling for at least a pause, maybe a ceasefire as well. And so we have to use our leverage if we expect Iran to use its leverage. Iran does not want a direct conflict with us, but it would threaten this regime if they did not respond to a direct attack from the United States. So they will respond because it's an existential threat to their leadership if they let the United States bomb Iran. And so there you'll have it, but they don't want it. The Hezbollah doesn't want to be involved in this war, but if we continue this way, if we let Likud keep doing what they're doing, and a totally discredited Prime Minister, Earl, who risks being in jail once this war is over, if we let them decide this, then Hezbollah may be involved too. And that's the much more powerful, in many ways, terrorist force up in Lebanon.
You know, Dr. Craig, I just continue to look at the decisions that are being made by our government, President Biden as well, who clearly look at the fact that now 26,000 people, many of them innocent, have been killed, Palestinians who had nothing to do with any of that. And yet we are still, you know, in support financially in a way. I don't see, Dr. Craig, where continuing, continuing to support this leads us to war with Iran. How does that make sense, Dr. Craig?
It makes no sense, and it's not helping anything. It's not making Israel safer. The policy of Israeli right wing has caused this problem, right? And I cannot repeat enough, they were putting their focus on undermining the Palestinian Liberation Organization in the West Bank, and found Hamas useful, and left the border unguarded, and have found, you know, it useful, because the reason they thought it was useful was Hamas is internationally not a credible partner for a two-state solution, and they don't want one. They don't want it, even though it's the policy of Israel and they've agreed to it. They don't actually want the Palestinians to have a state. That is the only solution to this long term, or it'll go on and on, like Northern Ireland went on and on and on for forever, right? For many decades, with a lot of death and killing. It's the same thing. You have to accommodate Israel's security desires, and Palestinians need to have a self-determination and the chance for a decent life, which they don't have now. And so that's where we are. We need to, at the very least, I mean, Bernie Sanders is right. We need to condition the aid. The other thing we need to do is, we are the one backstop that prevents them from being sanctioned by the UN and having unified international opinion against this Israeli government, not against Israel, not against all Jewish people, against right-wing Israelis who would love to see Trump in charge. We know Netanyahu would love to have Trump back. And so we should say we're going to not protect them and not veto unless, and then we tell them what they have to do. We have complete leverage to do that and to condition the aid. And President Biden needs to keep moving on this. He's moved on many things over his career. So there's hope here, but he needs to move and move quickly.
Dr. Craig, thank you. We'll see you in a week. Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bosch, Madner on Air. All right. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on tomorrow.